with Lois's reading in class this morning, I was reminded of my experience in seminary. We were talking about being gone for a long time and then coming home as the people of Jacob's people, as Israel's children, had been dispersed throughout the world in the two exiles, the first one through the Assyrians and the second one through the Babylonians, and about these people being lost, gone, as if they no longer have a place to be. And I remembered back to my first year at seminary, in fact, each of my years at seminary, when I was among a small group of people who could not come home at Christmas, just didn't have the resource to be able to make a journey there. And so they would close down all of the dorms at the on campus there. And those of us who were not able to go home or who did not have a home to go to were gathered into a single small building, and mostly international students, and then just a couple of us in a situation like mine who just could not afford to go home. And then there were some number of people who really had nowhere to go. And I learned the value of being lonely and genuinely missing people that you truly love. And what a great gift it is to feel that loneliness, knowing that there is a place that is home, and how very different the experience when there is a feeling that there is, in fact, no home to go to. There is no place where there are my people. I was bemoaning with class this morning that we have this passage before us already. John 1 is hard. John 1, I mean, it's beautiful poetry. It's a lovely hymn. But gosh, you know, here we have, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him, and not without him, not one thing has come into being. And it's like, wow, that's hard theology. What happened to the baby? I mean, right there in the manger. I mean, I want to talk about the baby. I want to talk about how grateful we are to have this innocent infant come into our lives, or this precocious youth from last Sunday, this child who is going to grow. Wow. To go from that to this one who has come is the very breath of God that hovers over the face of the deep in the first creation story. And God says, "Let there be light." And there is light. God speaks God's word, and creation happens. And John takes us to this place where we are invited to know that this Jesus who has come in human form is the same word of God that called forth the stars in the morning. It is the same word of God who called forth the vegetation. It is the same word of God who separated the land from the water and the waters from the waters. This is the same word of God who has existed since the very beginning of all existence and before that, and who has called into creation everything that is, everything that ever has been, everything that ever will be, exists only because it is spoken by this word of God that transfers, transforms, ignites, enlivens, makes the world in which we live. Like, that's That's a big thought. It makes my head hurt. Just sitting here talking about it and thinking about it for this week, it's like, wow, this is big. This is big, and the light comes to the world. And it shines. And it shines in the darkness. And the darkness really tries to overcome it. John's writing his gospel possibly as late as, some would argue he even wrote after the turn of the first century, but he's certainly in the 80s or 90s, well after Jesus, well after Paul has done Paul's thing, well after the synoptic gospels have been around for a while. John is in another part of the empire. He's speaking to a different people with higher education, and he's got this beautiful thing going on, these words. But he's far enough down the road that, wow, there's been the temple has been destroyed. Jesus has been crucified. People have gone out seeking to silence this movement, one of whom was Paul. Just a chunk of wax. Yeah, I hope. But John's writing in a time when the church has been through a lot of persecution. People have chased it down. Emperor Nero Rome has had its big fire. They have sought to blame the Christians for that. There has been people brought in and executed for being people in Christ. The light came into the world, and into a world that's very dark, into a world that's very fearful, into a world that's looking for someone to blame for all of the problems. And the light has come into the world, and darkness has sought to overwhelm it. It has sought to silence what God is doing. And John tells us, from the heart of his community, that the light shines still. The darkness has not overcome it. That the good news of the message of the birth of Christ has not been silenced by the powers that tried to quiet it. The change of heart of those who received an understanding of what it means to be in God has not been lost. John tells us that to those who are able to hear the gospel, God gives the power to become children of God who are born not of the flesh, nor of the blood, nor of the will of man. And that's man intentionally, as opposed to human. I don't need to go off on that, but it's interesting to me that John chose that this is the will of man and the implied lack of freedom that existed to women in that phrase, and that this is not how God would have the world be. It is not about a man's will, but about the possibility of the Spirit of God calling forth the possibility of hope and the certainty of life. So what John tells us in this passage is that the light did come to the world in ways that we don't understand and probably cannot fully comprehend. That this light is the Word of God that called forth all things into being. And that this light continues to survive by opening the gospel to all people. That everyone who can understand, that can come to this word and understand that God's love is present with us and for us. Everyone who can hold on to that possibility becomes a child of God, freed from those who would control us by fear. In John's gospel, more than any of the others, as Jesus lives his life, as Jesus is confronted by those who would seek to silence him, he speaks always the truth of God's greater love, and that this love is only found in being not afraid. This love is only found in being open and welcoming. My friends, inasmuch as we can have our hearts opened as broadly as is the heart of Christ, can we fully understand and live into the promise that is ours this day, when the Word becomes flesh yet again and finds its way into our hearts yet again, so that we can have the experience of the coming of Christ in Christmas yet again, as we learn to love even as God has loved. Amen.